Matthew chapter 4, I want to read to you three verses, verses 18, 19, and 20. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. If you haven't heard this question already, you're about to hear it. But I've got a sneaking suspicion that you've already heard the question. Here it is. What are you doing over the break? I'm sure that's been... You know, teachers ask those questions to each other. But it's a little bit different. You ask a student, what are you doing over a break? And we're going to do something death-defying and something exhilarating and something that's adventurous. You ask a faculty member that, and they're like, you know, we're going to find the recliner. We're going to find the grandchildren. You know, it's a whole different ball of wax. But, you know, all of you have plans over the break. Some of you that are confined to the dorms over the break, you're like, I still have plans to sleep an excessive amount or to work on this or that. And all of you have your plans drawn up for the fall break, I'm sure. There's some of you, you're like, the very moment that we leave this campus today, we have our day planned out. It's freedom. But before you leave, I want to tell you something that ought to be a part of your plans over the break and really for the rest of your life. I think every one of you ought to go fishing. Now, I know that turns some of the ladies off, fishing, touching those worms and the bait. That's gross. That's icky. I remember the first time taking my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, fishing. And we went to a pond that was near my place, and I remember she caught her first fish. It was a brim. It was a bluegill. It was a panfish. All right? Google one of those. You'll be able to see a picture of it. And, you know, it was quite the experience. And I think I probably had to bait the hook. I probably had to take it off. I probably had to show her. And I probably had to throw it back in. It was just one of those experiences that even to this day, she wouldn't be much of a fisherman. But I don't care about your gender. I don't care whether you're a city person or a country person. You know what I believe? I believe that if you're following Jesus, that Jesus will make you a fisher. Now let me tell you, over the last few months, one of my greatest fears in churches and we as individuals is this. Is that we have lost the sense of what it is like to be a fisher of men. For instance, church visitation programs have been virtually shut down. And for good reason. I'm not here to castigate those churches and say, well, they're not spiritual. But let me tell you, it just closes another avenue in which we encourage people to be fishers of men. And I believe with all of my heart that if anybody, any Christian ought to be a fisher of men, it ought to be those of us here at Ambassador Baptist College. And I want to challenge you over the break. Yes, go on a hike. Yes, when you eat at Miss Joanna's place, eat all you can and then some. When you go home, indulge in your mom's cooking. When you go home, indulge in those things that you've been wanting to do that are good and wholesome. But in the end, listen to me, I challenge you, pray and say, God, would you make me a fisher of men? And to encourage you along those lines, I want to show you three simple things. The first thing that I want to show you this morning is an illustration. The illustration comes at the end of verse 18 when the Bible's talking about Peter and Andrew, and it says that they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now, please pardon me for the next few moments of being a little base and simple. I am not going to tell you a lot about Greek tenses and grammatical structure. But I would like to tell you a little bit about something that I was raised doing, and that was called fishing. For the sake of those of you who have never done it, And for the sake of those of you who think you can, but you can't. And for the sake of those of you who know what you're talking about, I want to remind you, Jesus takes this human occupation of fishing and He's going to draw an application. But notice the Bible says that they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. You just expected fishers to cast a net in the sea. Now, I'll admit, fishing has changed a lot through the years. I've never fished with a net. I've gotten a fish out of the water with a net, but I've never used a net to catch fish. It's been a fishing rod. And as a kid growing up, I would spend hours upon hours upon hours sitting on the bank of a pond or a lake, and even sometimes a river, and I would take that rod, and at the end of that rod I would put a hook, and then depending on what I was fishing for, I put bait on the hook. If I were fishing for a brim, it might be just a regular worm. Regular worm will catch a lot. If I wanted to catch catfish, basic rule of thumb there is take the nastiest, most disgusting, rotten, decrepit food that you can find and put it on the end of the hook. You're like, that is awful. It is, but they love it. If I was going to catch an animal called a carp, we would take bread dough and pack it together and use everything from Kool-Aid flavoring to rotten lettuce, and shove it into a big ball and throw it out there, and that fish would just come and suck it up. And when he did, you'd catch it. And the carp is the kind of fish, it doesn't taste very good. If you're going to cook a carp, the best way you can do it is wrap the carp in a paper bag, put it in the oven for 30 minutes at 500 degrees, and when you're done, pull the bag and the carp out and throw the carp away and eat the bag. That's the way you eat that. Nasty tasting fish, but it is big. But you know what? The only way that I could catch fish as a kid was to bait that hook and throw it out in the pond. You're like, that is like so profound. I can't believe you're a college president. You don't throw your hook in the pond, guess what? You're never going to catch fish. And do you know the same is true as being a fisher of men? You're never going to catch any fish unless you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to bait the hook and I'm going to throw it out there. Now, for some of you, you're like, well, I've just never done much fishing before. Let's stick with the physical illustration for a moment. You're like, I have just never done much fishing before. This illustration does nothing for me. Can I tell you something? In my lifetime, I have seen people who were very inexperienced at catching fish catch fish. There's nothing like watching a kid for the very first time. It takes him like 10 times to learn how to cast his rod. He keeps slinging it into the bank. And then finally he throws it out there and you tell him, just watch that bobber. And when you see that bobber go down, pull! There's nothing like watching a kid. He's not experienced. All he's doing is watching that bobber. And the very moment it goes down and he pulls, and you see him reel and his eyes get really big, and then he pulls a fish about this big up to the bank. You know what? If that kid's going to be a fisherman, he's got to start somewhere. And you know what? For some of you, it's time to throw your hook in the water if you've never done it before. God used an illustration. Let me ask you a question. This week, this semester, how have you thrown your hook in the water? If you're like, you know, I've been awful busy. Well, I've got news for you. For the next few days, there's no excuse. And the truth is, during the school year, there's no excuse. But you got to start somewhere. Jesus uses a physical illustration to tell us this is the work that we need to do. But not only do I want you to see an illustration, I also want you to see a transformation. And he saith unto them, follow me. Now here it is. And I will make you fishers of men. Jesus can transform us and make us into the fisher of men that we ought to be. That's a transformation is change. You know, one of the reasons you've come to Bible college is because you need to change. Now, some of you need to change, like making your own bed, washing your own clothes, and ironing your own shirts, which some guys still have not mastered. But one of the reasons you're here is to change, not just in your social habits like that, but I'm talking about changing spiritually, a transformation taking place. You're like, I come to Bible college, and guess what? It's putting me into doing things that I've never done before. Good. That's great. That's part of the transformation. And one of the transformations that needs to take place in your life, and one that needs to increase in my own, is to be a better fisher in December than I was in August. And you know what I want to challenge you to do? God, would you please make me a fisher of men? I know sometimes some of you pray, Lord, would you make me rich, because I need a lot of money. I need to, Lord, just make my next payment on my school bill. That's a good prayer to pray. Brother Bunn really enjoys it, not only when you pray that way, but when it's answered. But I wonder if you'd be willing to pray, Lord, would you make me a fisher of men? Let it be a transformation that takes place in your life. He gives an illustration. He talks about a transformation, but the last thing I want you to see is an identification. And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. They were eager to be fishers of men. You ever just straightway left something before, just dropped it? I mean, it'd be like going into the gym, and let's say the guys are playing a fierce game of basketball. And I come in and say, hey, Brother Piero is serving broccoli and Brussels sprouts. Let's go. That doesn't do anything for those guys. But I'll tell you what, if I go in there and I say, hey, Piero has New York strip steak, loaded baked potatoes, and chocolate cake, you probably don't have to tell them more than once. It's something they enjoy. They leave straightway because of the value that they see in that meal. I'm impressed because these men left their fishing nets. They left their nets immediately and they went to follow Him. They were unashamed to identify with Jesus. Young people, let me tell you this. When you seek to be a fisher of men, you're identifying with Jesus. Now, we've talked about it during the opening revival. Our theme is follow Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. After all that He's done for you, let Him make you a fisher of men. You say, well, there are times when you tell people about the Lord and you know what? They don't get saved and my feelings are hurt. Listen, there are times that I've put hooks in the water and haven't caught a thing. But I didn't throw my rod down and say, that's it. I'm never going fishing again. You know, there's some days you catch a lot. There's some days you don't catch anything. There's some days you think you're spinning your wheels. But listen, Jesus said, if you'll follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. And when you're fishing for men, you're fishing for souls, you're identifying with Him. So I want to ask you, what are you going to do over the break? There's some of you, you're going to come in contact with people that you've not seen in a while. Some of you are going to come in contact with friends, neighbors, other people. And if you're like, well, I'm just staying here. Well, you're going to go to Walmart. You're going to meet people you've never seen before. I want to challenge you. Let your prayer be, God, make me a fisher of men. You know, when I look back in my life, some of the greatest memories I have are related to fishing. Several years ago, my father-in-law paid for us to go on an Outer Banks 40 miles off the shore to go fishing. And I'm going to tell you what, I will never forget that experience. I remember watching my father-in-law, they had hung a fish, and he reels in a 9.5-foot blue marlin billfish that thankfully we did not put in the boat because he would have impaled one of us. With a bill that long, I'd never seen anything like that in my life. That thing shot up out of the water and we were all like... And no sooner than that, my son Andrew sits down. He's just a little tyke at the time. And he's cranking on this big reel and he pulls in a tuna like this big. And then Jared sits down and he's younger than Andrew and he reels in like a 25-pound tuna. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. All I caught was dolphin fish. It was humiliating for me. But we did, at least we caught a lot of them. Man, I still remember that. I'll tell you, that is something that I'll take to the grave. But you know what? I'll tell you, some of the greatest memories I have in my life too also not only involve fishing on the sea, but when you talk to a man who's a Vietnam vet, God delivered him through Vietnam, and he comes to you and he says, I need to be saved. Wow. When you're talking to two teenage girls at a Christian camp, they're playing basketball and they stop and they come over to you and you start talking about the things of the Lord and all of a sudden one just breaks down and says, you know what? I need to be saved. When you go to visit a loved one and they're on their deathbed and you share with them the gospel and at that moment they acknowledge Christ as their Savior. Let me tell you, some of the greatest memories I hold are times when God just put me at the right place at the right time and it was nothing of myself and I just told them what little I knew and they embraced Christ and they trusted Christ and they were saved. Those are some great memories. But you know, memories have to be made, don't they? You know, in all probability, there are some of you right now, you'd say, Brother Bill, I've never led a soul to Christ. You know what my message is to you this morning? If you'll pray that Jesus would make you a fisher of men, you're going to make a memory soon. And when you do, you'll never forget it. There are some of you in this room, you're like, Brother Bill, I'll tell you what, I have led somebody to the Lord. That's great. But you know what? If you're just satisfied with what you've done in the past, you know what? You'll never go forward for the Lord. I don't know many fishermen say, well, I'll tell you what, we had a few good fishing trips in the past, but you know, that's all they talk about. No, they're looking for the next fish. They're looking for the next trip. That's where every one of us as the children of God need to be. And so I want to encourage you over the break. You've got a lot of plans, but I'll tell you there's one thing all of us ought to be doing. We ought to be fishing for men. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And as I close this message, I want to ask you, would there even be one person that you would think of, maybe that you know you're going to see and say, God, would you help me in sharing the gospel with them? Maybe you're not going home for the break. Maybe you could pray like this, God, would you just open a door for me to share the gospel? Lord, would you bring me across the path of somebody and help me to tell them what Jesus has done for me? And Lord, help me to be salt and light. Hey, this fall break is not just the time for you to take a good nap. It's a time for you to be fishers of men. And I'd love to hear some of the testimonies about how God used you, if not to lead somebody to the Lord, to at least give them the gospel, and you knew it was at the right time, at the right place, and God used you in a great way. Let's bow our heads together in prayer.